Rich Kimble here, and Bruce Pratt on board for another edition of Sports Lit 101. And this time around, we're joined by a poet, a professor at the University of Kansas, and the author of a terrific new collection entitled Ice Age. Brian Daldorf joins us. Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me. It's good to talk to you.
It's such a powerful collection of poems about your father's dealing with dementia. What inspired you to put this collection together and to write these poems?
Well, I think for my family, it was obviously a very tough time, and we did our best to get through it. And it was only really afterwards that I started writing about this and trying to find ways to describe the experience. But I think it's something that many people are having to deal with in their families, and I hope that these poems can mean something to somebody else too.
Well, Brian, this is Bruce. I think they truly can. What really struck me was that you used, when you used form and even when you didn't use form, these are very succinct, very accessible poems that are, that capture moments. And is that really, in a sense, what happens when you're talking to someone who's dealing with this kind of problem?
Yes, I think so. I think certain moments stand out, and I think really, in general, that's what poets look for, the kind of moments that take on a special significance. And in looking back at my father's last years, there were certain things that stood out to me, and the poems were really built around those things.
I was wondering if you wouldn't mind reading a couple of these for us. Rich and I talked about these in the past, and I read a couple of them. I don't remember now which ones I read, but anything from the collection that you'd like to read would be great. And I would point out to our listeners, if you get this, that the great thing is there are translations of every poem on the other page in Spanish, so you can read the poem two ways if you know Spanish.
Right.
Is there a particular one you'd like to start with?
Yes, I'd like to read the poem called Householders.
Yeah.
It's a poem that I wrote a long time ago, but I still think it's one of the best poems that I've written in sort of catching what I wanted to say with it. So this is in the first part of the book, which describes some things from my father's life, and the second half of the book deals with his illness. So this is called Householders. My father helps me strip old paint from window frames of my house. We spray the paint with stripper based on caustic soda, he says. Splash drops on my face burn like hot tears. Orange, gray, white skin blisters, and we scrape it. We're getting back to bare wood. We'll heal gaps with wood dough gripping pin nails, then start again with primer. My father has no words for our lost years. His rust-skilled workman's hands, twice the heft and breadth of mine, help seal my house for winter. Our joint achievement is smooth paint on hard wood.
One of the remarkable things about that poem is that it works, at least for me, it works on more than two levels. It works sort of on three levels. You are obviously, as our listeners can tell, a native of the UK, where your dad lived. You've been in the U.S. for a very long time. What was that, being not only an ocean apart, but then again another half of a continent apart, like in terms of your relationship with him?
Well, I mean, I think in many ways I would spend more time with him than a lot of people spend with their fathers, because I would go back there maybe two or three times a year and most often stay with my parents. So that involved quite a lot of time with him. And I know that that doesn't always happen even when your family's closer. So, I mean, even though I was living a long way away, I do feel like I was very close to my parents for most of my years.
Now, when your father was diagnosed with the particular form of dementia that he had, one of the things that your poems explore is your sort of own discovering of what that is. And you did some research and the like, and what was that like in terms of informing your poems?
In terms of informing who?
Oh, in terms of the way it informed the poems that you wrote as a result of looking into it.
Well, I think that I had to understand the illness to write about it. So I did quite a lot of research. I mean, I think most writers would do that if they were writing about a subject. I mean, you want the kind of poetry of it, but you also have to have an understanding of it. So, I mean, I did try to understand it in the best way that I could. And I wrote an introduction to the collection too, which was really the result of my research and sort of applying it to my father's situation. So I think the poems go a little deeper and might be more meaningful because of that understanding of the illness.
One of the poems in the first part of the book that I just loved was My Old Man in the Sea.
Right.
And I thought it was such a great to have in the first part because it's really, to me, a transition poem to the second part. Is that one, could you read that for us on page 44?
Yes, sure. It's called My Old Man and the Sea. My father loved the sea. We all did in my family, and so we had a very strong connection with it. My Old Man and the Sea. My father yearns to live by the sea. In a bungalow, he'd seal against winter. He'd launch his small boat in fine weather and, fair or foul, walk his dog along the beach. He'd shop at the chandler's, consult tide tables and his barometer, buy fresh fish on the quay, keep track of ships in the docks. He lives inland in a town on a stagnant river dried by drought. He sold his boat. Day after day, he watches the tide go out.
You watch the tide go out, and that was the part of it which really carried me into the second half of the poems. It was always in my mind that the tide is what carries us out all eventually, that eventually we're carried out
exactly
by something.
Exactly so, yes. It leads to the second part of the book.
One of the things that you talked about at SLA in Kansas that I found fascinating had to do with the 1956, the last time England won the World Cup. I mean, I'm not saying that to be a jerk, but is that the last year of 56?
66, in fact.
66, okay. I had the six. And you pointed out that a number of the men who played on that team also suffered from dementia, and you talked about how the football or soccer ball, as we call them, used to be much heavier and leather, but there does seem to be some evidence that a lot of people who play the game for a long time may be at the same kind of risk that American football players are involved in. And how did you sort of stumble on that?
Well, the Daily Telegraph, the newspaper in England, has been doing a whole series on this. And as the players have gotten older, there has been more and more research on this. And it's really quite alarming that they're just finding more and more examples of ex-soccer players, football players, as we call them, who are often developing dementia, Alzheimer's early. And there seems to be just a greater number of soccer players by percentage dealing with these issues than the general population. So it's more and more noticeable, I think, this particular issue. And that's why I got interested in it. And also because I'm a soccer player too, and so I headed the ball a lot. And, of course, I sort of wonder how it would affect me and other people as well.
If you could read a couple more poems from the second half, the short ones, that would be great. And we could, not a couple more. If you could read one more of the ones from the second half, that would be great.
Okay, so this, for me, is really the key poem, and it's really one of the shortest poems that I've written, but I think it says what I was really trying to say in the whole collection, and it's simply called Alzheimer's. Winter in his face, brain, hands. Winter has come, and winter close behind.
Yeah, that's about as good a four lines as I've read in a very long time. Well, Brian, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. I really appreciate it. I hope I will see you again soon. And best of luck with everything that you're doing. And we have really enjoyed reading these poems.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity. And it was great to meet you. And I'm so glad that I could do this. Thanks for your interest.
You're more than welcome.
Brian Dalldorf, the collection is entitled Ice Age. Here on Sportslit 101. And it is, boy, it's such a powerful collection because, yeah, as we know, every family, yep, if you haven't been touched by dementia yet, you will at some point.
Yeah, and I remember when my grandfather was, my mother's father was suffering from it for years, how it became so frightening to my children. You know, it was such a difficult thing, how he couldn't be let out in the neighborhood. So many things about it that we just don't know. And who knows why it happens, but this whole notion that soccer is as dangerous as other sports has something that ought to have a lot of people thinking.
Absolutely.
Hitting the ball, particularly.
And you mentioned you met Brian when you were out at the SLA in Kansas.
Yeah. Yes, tremendous, tremendous guy. And his presentation, I just, as soon as it was done, I went over to him and I went to buy the book, and he said, no, you can have it. And I gave him we swapped books, and I just loved it. And he's been a very, very, very nice man.
Excellent.
Great stuff.
Brian Dalldorf here on Downtown. Who's on with us next week?
Joe Schrag will be on with us next week. He is the author of the great book on the Kansas Relays, which is really more than just a book about a major sporting event. I hope that he'll be able to bring to life in a better way than I did when I first talked about it. It was a lot of things happened at the Kansas Relays that are really interesting, and people with that snobby flyover mentality should be disabused of that notion. Lawrence, Kansas is an interesting place.
That's coming up next week, right here on Sportslit 101, every Wednesday on Downtown.